Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, here on a beautiful day in Colorado, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We're going to have Candace Stutzram on the bottom of the show, at the bottom of the hour, rather, talking about Proposition 131, why we all need to vote no for that. And we'll get into all of that. But we're going to start off with all kinds of stuff kind of going on in the world. The first one, when I got home yesterday, I was kind of running around yesterday. And Chuck, you were like, did you hear Israel's blowing up all the terrorists with pages? And I was like, what? And it's sort of like something out of a Mission Impossible movie, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently today they were blowing up their walkie-talkies and some solar panels and some cars. So, I mean, Israel may have everything rigged. And if you don't do what they say, they'll blow you up.
Well, and what's interesting about this, and it's my understanding, and Chuck, maybe you know more about it than me on this, but it's my understanding, it's not entirely clear, at least to us, how they did this with the pagers. Now, obviously, people who know how to look at explosives and explosions can probably tell what happened,
well, that's
right?
Theory. Here's my theory, and it's okay. Based just on supposition and not anything more than that, a little background information. The Hezbollah decided to order some pagers from Apollo Gold in Taiwan, because it makes a lot of semiconductors, makes a lot of things. The people at Apollo Gold said, no, we gave that off, sent it off to Hungary, to this BAC. And BAC said, no, we really don't have a manufacturing plant in Hungary. That'd be kind of too expensive and everything else. We're just kind of a broker for other contracts. So my guess is that the Israelis
had them.
Heard that, you know, they saw this order went to Apollo Gold, said, why don't you give it to BAC and we'll pay you
some sort of middleman selling pagers that unbeknownst.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
And then they went to BAC, who then shifted off to somebody else who shifted off. And they were manufactured by the Israelis. They said, we'll just do it ourselves. Here we go.
Well, and they probably had a pretend company acting as a middleman, right? So,
because right.
In other words, if you're going to do...
Israelis may have... All cell phones may be controlled by Israelis now.
Yeah, really? We need to be... Well, that makes sense, because I know you were reading some things that said it was hacked, some things that said, no, it was... They were set in it. This kind of has... all of the elements. So Israel probably somehow or another hacked the information that they were trying to get these pagers, right?
Well, they intercepted the working theory is they intercepted the pagers and loaded them with. But my view is, you know, why not make the pagers from scratch where you can do exactly what you need and then just pass them down
and have a middleman. Yeah, so that the companies who are selling the pagers may not even know, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, they don't. They want to keep them ignorant. Yeah.
Right. And same thing with the walkie-talkies. This is from Jacob. I had heard this years ago from an Israeli military officer. Every cell phone made has a part that is exclusively made in Israel. If that part is separated from the phone, the internal parts melt. Israel has the capability to shut off all the cell phones in the world if they wanted to. I'm assuming China does too, but I'm going to get into that in a second. Either way, though, it's, you know, I'm sure the people who know what they're looking at can tell what, you know, what this was, right?
I don't assume that, but I mean,
well, you can look at a pager and say, was there an explosive device or was it a lithium battery?
You have to have one that hasn't exploded yet. So
No. People can, they can, it's amazing. I mean, I've covered this for years, what they can do with explosions. People who know what they're looking at can tell a lot of times you can sort of reconstruct what might have happened. Either way, I think it's very tricky of them. And then to do it the next with walkie-talkies. And I think this accomplishes a number of things. Number one, they actually killed a bunch of bad guys and they took out hundreds of injured hundreds of others, right? So you just sort of accomplish that goal. Secondly, I think what it did too is if you were important enough to be getting a walkie-talkie or a pager from Israel or from Hezbollah, there's a good chance maybe Israel didn't know who all of those people are, but now they do, right? You could monitor. It's like, okay, these are all the Hezbollah people. I imagine there are people going, oh my God, I didn't realize Bill was actually a Hezbollah
Well,
pager.
you have to have some mode of communication other than couriers, because that gets ridiculous. There's too many couriers, and so all these guys have been badly maimed. Oh, this is your new pager. Don't worry, we checked it. Everything is
No, that's a thing.
strap that baby on.
And then walkie-talkies, I mean, you're right. It's got to tremendously disrupt their ability to communicate. The reason they were using pagers and walkie-talkies in the first place is because they were afraid Israel was monitoring their cell phones, right? But
Right.
now they're like, monitoring the cell phone is the least of our problems. They might just blow it up while I'm talking to somebody. I mean, it's sort of fighting terrorism with terrorism, the simple psychological impact of that. You've got the practical impact of the people being, identifying who the bad guys are, taking out some of the bad guys. Now they can't communicate, but just psychologically, it's like, what do you do with all of this, right? I think
Well,
even
you have to
more.
think, maybe Israeli makes all the phones,
Right.
all the
Well, like, is
pagers.
Jacob, well,
I
and
was
even.
kind of checking mine. Where's the lithium battery here?
Right. Well, and one of the other things too, I'm sure it did, is if you're an associate, right, of somebody who was in Hezbollah, you're like, Bill. Just don't come over for a while, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it's gonna all the Hezbollah people go stand over there, right? We don't want you coming. And then I just think it's real. I mean, the usual suspects are saying, oh, it's illegal, it's bad, it's wrong.
It's
Well,
illegal, yeah.
someone's
Okay,
flying a
well, there you
plane into a
go.
building,
Yeah, it's illegal.
Okay. Oh, so Jacob is saying, an example of what I'm talking about is the following. Israel has a capacity to call multiple cell phones in a defined area. Gaza residents get warning phone call before Israel airstrike demolishes his building. But I mean, who knows with all of the technology. And I think actually even more alarming. Well, maybe not more alarming, but equally alarming is the fact that so many of these chips and all this stuff, all the pieces of the phones and things and the cars that we build, right, come from China, right? So you got to assume that if I'm China, I'm just putting a kill switch in everything. I mean, it used to be you could put, what do they call it, a backdoor thing so you could hack
Right.
into a computer.
Right.
Well, now you just kind of put a kill switch in every car and every
Right.
computer and everything. It's kind of alarming. But I think though, it's if you're Israel, what do you think here? There is a lot of talk about, oh, they're going to escalate things. I don't think so. I think they're just saying, if you want us to escalate, we can and we will win. But what do you think? Why do you think why now
Well,
and
if they
why
wanted to,
this?
the theory is that they would disrupt their communication systems and then attack, and they wouldn't be able to respond. But they would have already attacked, by
Right.
waiting days and weeks and so forth. So no, I don't think they're in conjunction. I think I'm not sure killing a lot of people is a warning, but they're striking back in any way they can.
Right, exactly. And I think we'll see. And I also think, though, a lot of it, the fact that it's getting worse there, is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's fault, right? I mean, they've taken.
Kamala has this down. She's no problem.
Oh.
She's an expert at lithium batteries and their heating conductive system. She's got it down, but don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Oh, this is from Leo. I get a weather alerts from my area. Not a big deal. It's like, well, yeah, they're monitoring us all anyway. But I just thought it was fascinating. And because I want to switch on to something else, we will have Robert Spencer will be on Friday to talk about all of this too. And kind of talk about, because I think Israel, from what I read, has exploded phones and done things like this before, but just not on a mass scale like this, right?
Well, it's scary when you really think about the implications. As you said, China, it probably occurred to them, hey, why don't we just
Oh, yeah. Why don't we just do that? Why don't talk about some of the other big news, though? The Feds today cut interest rates by a half point, basically. So now they're going to be down around 4.75 to 5%, which is still outrageously high. The first time in 4 years. Even while they assure us that the economy's fine, they're just doing this all just because, we want to make
the just because the election's a few weeks away,
right?
Or being the Fed and being nonpartisan and non-political. Hey, last time we did this,
Yep, exactly. Well, and it was interesting. MSNBC had somebody on sort of explaining the rates, and even MSNBC, and I don't think she meant to do that. She goes, ooh, that's not good. But Doug, if we could please play the Trump, this is MSNBC kind of comparing rates and prices. They don't mean to do it, but that's what they're doing between Trump and Biden. If we could please play the Trump economy soundbite.
So this is before, like right when the pandemic was striking. I mean, look, you had home loans at 3.5%, right? Car loans, 5.2%, credit card interest rates, which are always terrible. Look at where they are today. So the idea of the Fed cutting interest rates would be these numbers would start to come down. You can see mortgage rates have already been falling in anticipation of the Fed cutting rates. They'll likely continue to fall. A lot of really smart people I know say you're going to have a 5 number there sometime maybe early next year or even late this year. So for those people who are looking to buy a home, if you can find one in this tight housing market, or trying to refinance more likely, if you've recently bought, that's going to be the first place you're going to see the effects of lower interest rates.
So how bad did things get? Like, do you have numbers for, because we talked so much about how, I just set it up a second ago, how expensive it is to go to the grocery store. We know gas prices are falling, which is great. So tell us about what we saw in the improvements.
I mean, when you look at the vibe session, people feeling terrible about the economy, this is why. You had housing inflation, 8%. Gas prices at the worst were up 41%.
Here's the thing that kills me is that they don't realize that they're talking about the Biden-Harris economy. Do you think, Chuck? They're like, well, talk, how bad did it get? It's like, why do you think it got bad? Like, this was just some magical, uncontrollable thing that had nothing to do with presidential policies, that under Trump, everything was cheap and great. Under Biden, everything is outrageously expensive.
Well, a half a point may not sound like a lot, but that's a major cut. I mean, quarter point, 8 point, half a point. I mean, that's intended to heat up the markets and stuff. I mean, it appears anyway, highly political. I mean, highly political that in September, whatever day it is, 19th, they've decided to, half a percent. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, it's election interference. And then from Jacob, these people are so stupid. The migrants are getting subsidies to buy a home that'll keep the housing prices up. Dr. Donna, I think before it was right out of the Blob movie, just appears. The economy just, I don't know though, Chuck, do you think though, is there time for them to turn it around this quickly, do you think?
No, but it's time.
It sounds good.
For them to claim they've turned everything around.
Here's a problem I think they're going to have, though. They're still waging their war on natural gas and petroleum, right? And I think everything kind of starts there. Your gasoline prices, that affects your food prices, that affects your fertilizer prices, that affects all kinds of things. That affects transportation. Never mind, you've got the Houthis, closing off major shipping lanes. I mean, the problem is they can change the rates, but they haven't changed any of the things that they did that made the rates go up. Right. So, I mean, that I I think they're trying to gaslight everybody, because without some of these most basic changes, everything's going to still stay high. Right.
Yeah,
or am I missing something?
Is the purpose. So just gaslight away. Pretty stupid.
Well, what do you think? I mean, do you think it will make a difference or no? I guess is what I'm.
It won't make a difference on the economy in the next, how many days is it going to be? 35 days or how many it is, I guess it's 50 days, but it'll allow them to say, hey, things are going great, it's down, what are you worried about? We've got everything under control.
Well, and they're going to try to tell you.
It's a political move at just the political time.
Right. Well, and they're going to try to tell you there is no inflation too, right? That's the other thing they're going to try to tell you. Then the feds are like.
That's your imagination, as many other things are.
Right. Well, because grocery prices, I was reading a thing today, the Denver Post, what a stupid article, about how restaurants are learning to cope with higher prices and higher minimum wage. Now, nowhere in the article does it suggest that maybe they shouldn't have put in all these wage constrictions, right, at the same time when food prices were going up. Nowhere ever does it address the underlying causes of why things have become so expensive. And they also
are they into explaining that maybe people won't go out as often.
Well, that was my point. They talk about the main way restaurants are coping with this is they're closing and they're going out of business or they're moving to cheaper cities. They leave that out. It's like, you know, so they're offering further things and it becomes this horrible downward spiral, right? All of a sudden you have worse food, you have smaller portions, people quit going out to eat, people still can't afford to go out to eat. And so again, it's this gaslighting thing where they're trying to pretend like they're doing something, but while they're again waging war on energy prices, it's not going to make any difference because the prices are still going to stay high, and somehow they think we're not going to notice this, right? If they could just restaurants,
that's what ballot harvesting's about. So if you don't notice it, we got a solution, an insurance policy.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's true. You mean if we do, I'm from Jim Jackson, stagflation is coming, higher inflation and no jobs. Scarcity from Dr. Donda, the Haitians may have opened the door to a new food source. Yeah, I guess, you know, for a while, the Democrats wanted us to eat crickets. Remember, we're all supposed, I guess Bill Gates still does want us to eat crickets, right? We're all supposed to still eat crickets. But I don't know that they're going to be able to fool enough people about the economy. When you talk to people go ahead.
Let's keep on doing it. They don't fool enough people. They've got a solution for them.
What do you mean?
They're going to cheat. if they don't fool enough people in November, they'll do their usual cheating to make up for the fact that we dumb people aren't getting it quick enough. They cheat. You didn't know that?
I do. I'm just waiting for you to explain a little bit.
Enough people are not going to get it. Peter Thiel said it. If it's close, Trump will lose because the Democrats have always cheated and will cheat again. And they know they may have to.
I think, go ahead.
It's 50-50, and 50-50, Democrats win.
I think the conservative treehouse did a good thing, and he was calling it plausibility, that one of the reasons you see these polls and everything's being manipulated is that they have to be able to do the ballot harvesting and other things so massively that they have to be kind of salting the field, so to speak, is not the right word, or fertilizing the field, so to speak, so that people will believe. Fertilize a field so that people will be able to believe that, oh, well, it's close, so Kamala Harris did win. And I think one thing, too, that people need to remember is they don't have to ballot harvest all over the whole country. This is what the conservative treehouse talks a lot about. They just have to ballot harvest in key counties, in key states, right, that they need to win. And he talks about Clyburn having the sort of the ground game set up there. Right. And that's one of the reasons. And that relies on a lot of Black election workers, Black ballot counters, all of that. And that's one of the reasons they're so concerned about Kamala Harris's and the Democrat Party, frankly, drop in the African-American communities, because they need those people are their ground game, basically, their cheating ground game, their ballot harvesting ground game. That is, all things considered, that is the one thing I just don't know. And the problem is, and I think the treehouse is right, it has to be stopped beforehand, because we've seen once the ballot's counted, even if it's fraudulent, right? Even if we can prove that it's fraudulent, even if we can backtrack the whole thing and expose it, the courts are not going to do anything about it. I mean, first you've got the George Soros secretaries of state, then you've got the George Soros district attorneys. They're not going to. But even the Supreme Court, I think, made it pretty clear last time, it's not going to jump in, no matter what the evidence, and overturn an election. Do you think?
No, they proved it. If you can get away with it on election night or shortly thereafter, you're in like Flint.
Dr. Donna says, I'm still voting on election day in person, having them give me a ballot. Leo says, Dr. Donna, do both and see what happens. And then she's let's see. Then Johnny says they say we have until October 21st to get our ballots in. Is that right? Well, it depends on what you mean by ballots in. I'm not sure on the dates yet. We'll get all that information. We'll get it out to you. But
well, the whole idea
you can drop it off up until 7 o'clock on election day, right?
Right. I mean, but this often gets lost by the Republican Party and even Donald Trump. If you're going to do get out the vote, you have to find out who's voted and who hasn't voted. It used to be you'd have like 5 hours. You know, everybody would come in and vote, and by 2 o'clock you had to start calling everybody desperately to try to get those people who hadn't voted yet. Well, that's all changed. Now, if you're a Democrat and everybody gets their ballots in, well, you got 20 plus days to go out. If you all vote on election day, well, there's no get out the vote because people won't know who's voted and who hasn't voted. So as a practical matter, if you want to help Republicans win, get your ballot in immediately. Then they won't bother. Say, okay, you know, those yo-yos are in.
And they can focus on getting the independents.
All that it's about. So I remember last time I had this argument with, I don't know, some Trump guy, and I said, no, you've got to get the, you know, says, well, the algorithms will be adjusted. They don't need the algorithms. Get everybody's vote in and count out. And then go around and collect those people who have.
Well, that's what I think. Yeah, I think I know there's a lot of talk about algorithms and you know, that's whatever. But I think what they do have, I would imagine, is ballots. They have ballots. And the ballot, they count the ballots. Now, the ballot may or may not be actually connected to a voter, right? An actual person, a legal person, legally eligible to vote. But that is the kind of, and you're right. And that's what worries me. That's what worries me. Like you said, if people are smart enough to see through the Fed cutting the rate right now, if they're smart enough to see through everything else, then they'll be like, okay, well, now we resort to, as you said, our insurance
policy.
But we
know in Colorado there's no ballot collection effort. There's no effort to truly get out the vote by getting everybody to vote early and then pounding those who haven't voted.
Right.
There's none of that. There's
right.
None. And, you know, the Republican Party, notwithstanding what Justin Everett said, has given up on Colorado. Who could blame them?
I don't know that they... given up on
given
Colorado.
Up
I just don't think they're putting any time. They're not putting
any
time and money. I mean, I was at, you know, I'll push back on that a little, Chuck. I was at my HD29 meeting last night, and there are plenty of people there, and people are working, and people are working hard. And there is, particularly from the congressional level, people working hard from the national level to get out the vote and to get people voting in Colorado. I would agree with you. I don't think it's Trump people. I think it's Americans for Prosperity, or the, you know, it's, right. So not all of our favorite people, but that's out there. Hey, one other thing I wanted to switch gears a little bit. And was there anything else you wanted to talk about? I mean, with that?
Nope.
Okay. One of the other things I want to talk about too is, you know, following the second assassination attempt, once again, first of all of the stupid, corrupt media kept calling it an apparent assassination attempt. Even the FBI is calling it an assassination attempt. I don't know what they would say was apparent. This guy, what, he was going to shoot some other golfer? Do you know what I mean? It was like he was there. He wasn't actually going to aim at Trump. It's like he shows up with a gun, lays in wait for 12 hours, pokes the gun out, and the Secret Service spots him. So they don't. I mean, he didn't get the shot off only because the Secret Service stopped him, right? I don't know. That's not an apparent assassination attempt, right? That's nothing apparent about it. There was no other purpose for that guy being there doing that. There's no other explanation. But the Democrats went right back to calling Donald Trump a threat, not only just Democrats, but the Biden White House, and pretending as if this rhetoric has nothing to do with anything, right? And so Peter Ducey pushed back at the White House press conference the other day. And then Karine Jean-Pierre just kind of like she goes into a Kamala Harris word salad. So Doug, if we could please play the threat soundbite.
And somebody allegedly tried to kill Donald Trump again. And you're here at the podium in the White House briefing room calling him a threat.
President Biden has been clear-eyed about the threat that the former president represents to our democracy.
How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter... if anything from this administration, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because American people are watching. And to say that from the administration who has consistently condemned political violence, from an administration where the president called the former president and was thankful, grateful that he was okay, from an administration who has called out January 6th, called out the attack of Paul Pelosi, called out and said we need to lower the temperature after the Butler incident, and now for you to make that kind of comment in your question, because it, your question involved a comment and a statement. And, you know, it is, that is also incredibly dangerous.
Peter Ducey is dangerous, right? Gunman with bizarre CIA ties, a completely inept Secret Service, if they're not corrupt. It's like, that's not a problem. It's Peter Ducey suggesting that the Biden White House, you know, I mean, they called out January 6th. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And I think there is, we've seen two assassination attempts, right? And now they found today, and I don't believe anything they say, right? They found some guy with an explosive device near the area inside the perimeter where the, and they caught it where Trump was speaking at a rally, right? And then he ran away. It's, and then they said, oh no, it wasn't anything. He was training a bomb sniffing dog. It's like, what?
I mean, rally.
It's like, what do you run away for? And it's like, who has bomb sniffing dogs, right? It's kind of like, I mean, Trump should have some, but it's kind of like, well, the only people who have bomb sniffing dogs are cops. And if it was a cop training a bomb sniffing dog, he wouldn't have run away, nor would he have had, I mean, maybe it wasn't explosive. But I mean, my thing is, do you believe them for a second that they're going to tell us the truth about that?
That's our government, Julie. That's our government.
So our government working for us. Here's some stuff with the about back to the thing. This is a good thing, Sandra. This is a really good point. If you vote by drop off, mail in, I never trust a post office. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I would not mail in my ballot. The post office union has endorsed Trump, right? I mean, that should be kind of a conflict of interest. But remember to sign up to make sure you receive the email or text that they received it and that it was counted. And then Johnny says, I always get a text when it's counted. I do too. And then Leo says, it was an apparent assassination attempt because a guy was pissed at a caddy he had there before. Then from Jim, my dad voted Republican until he died. Since then, he's always voted Democrat. From Sandra, KJP needs a clown face back on her. And then Jacob, it's interesting DeSantis is not letting the feds get to Ralph. I'm not sure how you say his name yet. He doesn't want him to be rubied. I'm not sure how, I mean, he's in federal custody, so I'm not sure about that. I've tried.
What difference?
Well, who's custody? I mean, cause you can be in a state facility and still appear in the federal court. So I have not seen. So Jacob, if you've seen that for sure, he's in state custody. From Leo, KJP is an idiot or an Academy Award actress paid to act really stupid for a few hours a day. And then Sandra says, Leo, me thinks it is an idiot. LOL. I think she is. Well, and there again, it's like they downplay it. And that doesn't make any difference. Everybody knows Trump. I mean, we were on the golf course, right? And this other dad at the golf tournament, we have no idea what his politics are or our politics are, turned to us and said, oh, my God, they just tried to assassinate Trump, another assassination attempt against Trump. So people know, right? And people are like, you know, some of the political people are like, oh, it's going to help his campaign or not help his campaign. It is dangerous. And you got to think that, again, given the ineptness of the Secret Service, what the FBI guy who's investigating this was vocally anti-Trump, right?
Well, they scrubbed like, all his anti-Trump things a year ago. So,
right. Okay. Well, yeah, but it's kind of like we're not going to notice, right? They think none of us are ever going to notice that kind of stuff. So, and then from Charlene, I hope they can keep the federales out of it. Well, I think it's good that I'll say this. I think that the Florida local law enforcement agencies obviously have a ton of information. It's not like this situation where sometimes you go in and the feds have all of the information that's hard to get and they don't share very well. I think in a situation like this, the Florida law enforcement agencies have a lot of the information and they will get it. And I think that hopefully, you know, I don't know. I think that's great that DeSantis is doing that. What do you think?
Yeah, no one trusts the FBI or Secret Service or anyone else. DeSantis brought up his team, and that was a little disingenuous. They brought up the new attorney general, and she was an idiot. But I think you're more likely to get a better result than if you have an incredibly biased guy who's they tried to hide bias a year ago as agent in charge of Miami. I mean, it's typical.
And not only that, forget the bias. It's like their incompetence, you know, again, their incompetence led to this guy being there in the first place, right? So it's kind of like, so you screw up not once, but twice. Now we want you to investigate your screw up, right? And you're like, oh, you know, there was no screw up. It was just an unfortunate situation, right? From Jim Jackson, wonder if the feds will kill the guy before they cremate him. And from Jacob, quoting a thing, Ron DeSantis doesn't trust the feds to probe Donald Trump assassination attempt. Right. I saw that. I'm just not clear. I know he's doing his own investigation. I'm just not clear whether the suspect is being held by the feds in a federal prison.
He was arrested by state authorities. So I think he's in state prison.
Well, but he's appearing in federal court. But what's interesting is Ron DeSantis says he will also pursue local charges as well. So
charge is attempted murder. It's not a violation of the federal gun rules. So if he did it according to the jurisdiction with the most serious charges, it would be tried in state court first anyway.
Right,
before
right.
they get around to the federal gun
now, and normally I know they try to cooperate on that, but it sounds like, and good for DeSantis, he's like, no, we're not going to cooperate. We're going to take the lead here and you guys do whatever you're going to do. And I don't know, is this Candace, are you here in the waiting room? If you're here, go ahead and join in. If not, there she is. Okay.
Hey.
Hi. Hey there. Hi there. So we're switching gears now. We need to talk about a real threat to democracy here in Colorado.
Yes. Imminent.
And that's Prop 131. And Candace, I know, Candace Stutzram, you guys tried hard to get some ballot initiatives on that would have fought this. We're not successful against Kent Theory's millions of dollars. But why don't you just explain what this will do, and then we can kind of expand to and why this is so dangerous.
Thank you for mentioning the ballot initiatives. No, we did fall quite far short of our goals. We realized that early on, probably actually when we picked up the printing and we saw how many 125,000 petitions times three looks like, 125,000 signatures. So anyway, we don't consider it a loss of effort because we collected maybe 10,000 signatures and at least it got that conversation going.
Right.
And we did have three separate ballot initiatives because being novices to the entire concept of the Citizens Ballot Initiative, we kept our initiative single subjects. Single subject bills. That's the only thing they're looking for at the title board, supposedly, is to keep it single subject and to make sure the title matches the content of the bill. So in order to counter maybe the 87 different theory bills that met title, it was just staggering. It was just broke the back of the system. We had to write three different initiatives with three different subjects on them. But of course, they managed to skillfully roll it all into 131, which formerly 310, and nobody called them out on multiple subject. But I'm here to tell you, there is more rolled in to that ballot proposal. People are completely unprepared for the sweeping changes that are coming into our lives, to the elimination of the party as we know it. The confusion that is going to reign as this thing is rolled out. I'm doing everything I can up to the last minute to just shout this from the mountaintops that we have one last chance to stop
Yes.
this thing.
Right.
And
And I
go
know
ahead.
that somebody was mentioning, I was saying it was at my HD29 meeting last night, and somebody, I have not seen him yet, but they've already, Kent Theory has spent, what I think I saw in Colorado Politics, like $10 million he's already spent on this. And that they've already got fancy ads rolling out saying this is just puppies and unicorns and everyone will get a
Oh,
free house. I mean, that they're making it sound like, such a kumbaya thing.
Oh, right.
And Chuck, you're doing an editorial on this too, right? So I mean, it's anything but, puppies and unicorns, right?
Well, it's a good way for the rich people to finally be rid of all the pesky voters. The system will now go to the very rich, and Kemp theory is one of those. The way that average citizens get into politics normally is through the parties. You can be a PCP in the Republican Party, district leader. It's a whole set of them. It will destroy all those apparatus, and the only thing that will matter is how much money you have and how many ads you can do and how good the ads are. I've seen
That's
Kemp
right.
theory ads, and they're very good. They say, "You hate these parties, don't you?" Yeah, they're all so extreme. Yeah, let's
They're
just get rid of
divisive.
those, and it's going to result in and simply there is no big new apparatus other than the millions of dollars very rich people have into promoting their candidates, and you'll never hear about any other candidate.
That's
So
right.
it's a way of the rich utterly controlling the system. And Kemp Berry, I think he's nine out of nine on getting proposals passed. And
Right.
his ads
Pretty
are
good
very
average.
effective, and we've got no money because who's going to
Right,
put the money
none.
against it? Nobody.
That's
So
right.
it's fun
It it's
times.
a pretty dismal prospects. You're absolutely right. The system does only benefit the moneyed interests or those willing to take other people's money. And if you're willing to take other people's money, you have to dance according to their music. It's designed to eliminate the fringe points of view like ours, fringe ideas like pro-life,
Second
pro-border,
Amendment.
Second Amendment, stay away from my kids, all of it. All of what we hold as America First values are going to be eliminated in this method because it essentially is switching us over to a completely petition on procedure. The parties are still allowed to exist, at least for now, just kind of as a quaint relic of the past. They're allowing us to, with the language is endorse candidates. But the most telling picture of what this is going to look like and how it's going to operate is looking at Sarah Palin's race in Alaska. In that primary race, there were 40 eight candidates listed for that single congressional seat. They only have one. They still only have one. And Sarah Palin came out far and away the popular leader. She probably had three quarters of the votes after the first run in the primary. The Republic another Republican was behind her, and then an independent, and then the fourth place getter was Mary Peltola, and she had like 11-5, or these are really rough numbers, but guessing number six was Santa Claus. So if Santa Claus had ran a better campaign, he may have been in the top four. I'm certain he lost sleep over that, but the top four advance onto the general, just like they will in Colorado. And we all know the rest of the story. What happened in Alaska is that thanks to the redistribution of the votes, the cobbling together of the false majority, and that is the rules of the ranked choice voting system, they believe that majority rules has some magic quality to it. Whereas for what, 148 years in Colorado, 248 in America, we have always elected our candidates on a plurality rule system. There's nothing magic about a majority, especially when it's fake. And
Right.
that's what this happened. This is what happens. And what people don't realize is how it actually favors the ideology. Because I believe, haven't we all seen that map of the United States of all the counties that Trump got in 2020?
Right.
It's almost entirely red. there may be 10%, you know, in the East Coast or maybe up around the lake area. Far and away, a center-right country when you get down to the 3,000 counties. So I believe this system operates on that system. They know that in the first run of the votes, the center-right candidate is going to take the most of the first round. But what they do is they eliminate the lowest vote getter, and then they open up those ballots and refer to this next choice, the next choice, and redistribute it among the remaining candidates. They run it again until they ultimately achieve a majority, which is 50% plus one. But you can see what happens. Mary Pitola, the far left candidate, was on the, let's call it, the left end of the ballot. And Sarah Palin's on the far right end. This system rarely benefits the front runner. If
Right. Well,
the lowest guy drops out, their next choice is going to be similar to the guy that dropped out. So you see, it
right.
only benefits the opposite end of the ballot until ultimately they cobble together all the undervotes and they overcome who was the popular, what I call the winner. The winner loses and the loser wins.
Well, and I think we had Carl Honegger on, who's done a lot of work on this too, and he had some interesting discussions. And Chuck, weigh in on this too, if you want. That talking about how it's just how it what it really results in is backroom, cigar-filled, billionaires determining candidates. Because he said what they do, he believes, and he went through some of these things, is that the power brokers who decide the candidates and fund the candidates now kind of figure on some that they can live with, and then they fund spoilers, right, to go in there, and then the spoilers get on the ballot, and then they drop off. And so then it brings up these, the, he was talking about, Chuck, wasn't there one race where the guy who was number three, because the two spoilers who were three and four dropped out, right? And then some guy who was way down ended up, and he's actually in prison. He's a convicted felon serving a prison sentence, but he could
Perfect
be
listening.
elected, right? And he talked about just the corruption. And that's something I want to ask, and Chuck, get your thoughts on too. I mean, we're talking now naively about Republican and Democrat philosophies. I think under this system, billionaires don't care about Republican, Democrat. They care about becoming more wealthy, or if you're Bill Gates, about eliminating population, and making everybody crickets or whatever crazy notion you have.
Eat
That's
crickets.
who they're going to, it's not going to be conservative, liberal, or progressive or that. I think it's just going to be who's going to benefit the billionaires the most. And they're going to manipulate things, I believe, so that the only candidates you really get to vote for, they could kind of live with any of them. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think you said a lot in there. The gaming of the system was really real because Mary Pitola did that. She was known to have gone to the convention. There wasn't a convention. They don't have assemblies anymore. I don't know where this was, but she was walking around holding the Begich, I think was his name, and Palin's, both of their posters. And she said, "Go ahead and vote for either one of them, whatever you like, but vote for me for second." And sure enough, it's a lesson to be learned, and especially it's relevant to Colorado. The Republicans could have fixed that. They refused to back down. They let two of the Republicans go in and split the vote, and it ended up going to the advantage of Peltola, and the independent was probably the spoiler there, and his votes all went to Peltola also. But there's a lesson to be learned there, that it was the Republicans that were loath to vote for the other Republican, both sides. And so they actually voted for Peltola second. They
They
did it.
don't.
They'd rather have a Democrat
And
than vote
Chuck,
for the other side of the party.
what are some of the points you're making in your editorial?
I'd just like to speak to her last point. I mean, quite frankly, the divide in the Republican Party in Colorado is every bit, if not more vicious than the one in Alaska. And so I could definitely envision Republicans saying, I'll vote for my Republican, but the second guy isn't going to be a Republican, it'll be a Democrat.
Never, never. Yes. I'd vote for a Democrat before I'd vote for you. Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
And
and
it's
so
to our
it
shame and to our demise.
well, it is to our demise, and you know, I mean, Kemp theory gave us open primaries, which is another way of getting, you know, moderate, practical, pragmatic candidates in. And of course, it just gives the Democrats have extreme candidates, and we have these blahs. And it's amazing how every one of Kemp theory's little ideas, and he was indicted. Unfortunately, the jury didn't convict him, but you know, there's an old saying that a pretty face can hide an evil mind, and Kemp theory fills that perfectly. But I don't know, the ads are great. There's no going to be no ads on the other side, if any. So it'll be a one line thing. You know, it's very hard to know how it's going to go, but if it goes
Well,
through,
it's
goodbye
difficult to
political parties,
imagine.
goodbye. You
Sure.
know, hello, Kemp Theory, new governor of Colorado.
Yeah.
He is unaffiliated. And as we all know, the unaffiliateds are this close to taking over the majority in the state. He wants to be the first unaffiliated governor, so he's on the pathway to do it. And he's going through every wicket without any resistance.
Right. Well, and Charlene is saying, how do they sell it as being beneficial? Charlene, what they do, and Deborah or Candace, you can elaborate on this, but they say, well, it's just, you want to get rid of the extremes, you get the more moderate candidate. It's not divisive. The parties are so divisive, blah, blah, blah. And nobody likes the parties anymore. I mean, isn't that kind of how they're trying to sell it, Candace?
Yes, they're selling it in the name of modernizing elections. And I believe one of the big pocket groups that they're relying on is young people, because the young people are, they don't know the advantages that we are actually living under the most perfect form of representative government with our caucus and assembly system. There are a few countries, states left in the country that enjoy this method, and yet we're trading it in for this monster. And what they claim is that we are going to get a higher quality candidate out of this procedure. And I think Chuck is alluding to what they mean by that they're going to pick our candidates for us, just like they wanted to kick Donald Trump off the primary ballot. They're essentially trying to pick our primary candidates here by choosing the winners and the losers. Of course, you're a loser already. It's like Joe the plumber. He doesn't even fit into this picture anymore because he's not going to have the money to do it. So
Well,
you
look
have
at
to appeal.
the Democrats are already doing it. Look what they did. Okay, so in 2020, they were worried about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So they all got together in a back room and they made them drop out. There was no primary. Joe Biden becomes a candidate. Fast forward to 2024, right? I mean, these people believe primaries are pesky because the stupid voters can vote in them. So what do? They decide they don't like Joe Biden. They force him out. They force him out, right? And all of a sudden, voila, Kamala Harris is a candidate, even though no one voted for her. And they disenfranchise
Last.
all the people who voted for Joe Biden. The Democrats, I think, are okay with this. I know that I'm going to give you time, but we've got a few more minutes here to talk about the Colorado Republican Party is doing everything it can to fight this. Is this one area where the establishment, where the rhinos and the grassroots are together on this? Are people like Barb Kirkmeyer, does she support this travesty, or do you know?
Well, it's actually very surprising all the points you made. Shad Murib, the Democrat Party chair, he's actually solidly against it. He says ranked choice voting is like tossing a grenade into Colorado democracy. So they don't want to lose their party either. They realize the whole party system, even theirs, is gone. And the minor parties suffer as well. The minor parties in the current system go directly onto the general ballot. Now they're going to be one of those 48 names, nameless, faceless names. You won't even know who these people are, let alone what they stand for.
Well,
There's
you
no
will know
more.
what they are because the billionaires like Theory will publicize them on TV, so you'll recognize
But
the names.
you may have a name recognition on the most moneyed, but they're all going to sound alike. And you add artificial intelligence to this, to the media campaign, I think they're all going to look alike. They're going to sound alike, look
Well,
alike,
the
stand for
idea
this.
is for the rich people to give the name recognition to the people who they want. Now, if
Right. Who
you're
they
Joe
well,
Blow, you can't do name recognition. You can't get it. And the
no,
only
he
way you
can't
get
even
name
afford to
recognition is
petition on. And
billionaires.
I'm here to say that. we learned the hard way how expensive it is to petition on. You have to be able to pay the professional circulators. It's just
Right.
not going to happen. So
Right.
what they found in Alaska is that after the experience with Sarah Palin, which just rocked the country, they and it, by the way, it disenfranchised a lot of pocket voters
Right.
because they're asking us to participate in two different races, the primary and the election, two different sets of rules, two different ballot styles, two completely different methods of voting. And they're expecting us to learn how to do this. And by the way, the fiscal summary of 131 really glosses over the truth about the education component. Alaska quoted.
They don't want people educated, right? They just want their guy to win. Hey, listen, we've got to wrap it up. Let me ask
Okay.
you, can you talk about, so co the Colorado Republican Party, they have a Zoom meeting coming up or a Zoom call coming up Sunday. Can people get on that? And that's
Sure.
going to get even more detail if people want to know, well, wait, exactly how is this going to work and what do we need to do to fight it?
Well, I'll be honest about that. I was on it last night. We did it last night, and there were ba barely 56 participants. It
Oh.
was a very disappointing turnout. There was some good discussion, and they gave me free rein to speak almost the entire program. We're going to repeat it again on Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and the Zoom address has already gone out earlier in the week. It may go out again. So, anybody who's on the Colorado on the overall mailing list, I'm talking the big one, I believe, is getting that address.
Well, and
So,
you know, it's posted up. If people want to go to rhinowatchco.com, it's up on Rhino
good.
Watch as well. The
Okay.
information is there too, and it's got a Zoom link. So,
But this is my practical problem, and I brought it up last night. We have stood up a new committee. This is a follow-on to the petition drive. It's called First Choice Counts. Let me find it. Do you see it?
yep, we can see
First
it.
Choice Counts. And the email address is right. I'm sorry, the
No,
there it
that's
is.
okay.
First
If you just search
firstchoicecounts.com.
up, you can search
They
up
lost
First
it.
Choice
There it is.
Counts. You can find it. There you go.
Firstchoicecounts.org is the
Okay.
website. We need money. We have all the bright ideas of how to do this messaging campaign, videos, boots on the ground, flyers, stickers, brochures. We are ready to roll, but there is no gas in the tank. We've
Yeah.
gotten no money from the party. You need to know that.
Yeah.
None.
I
We've
don't know
gotten
that they have
no
any.
money from
Yeah, well, they
any
have two parties
county.
now. One party is
Neither.
the
I'll
rhinos.
tell you.
Well, you're not
I
going to,
will
you
tell
know, they're
you.
using up all the money. The
Well, I'll
rhino
tell
one
you.
has gotten in there, and it's all going to litigation. It's all going to litigation.
You know,
Well,
but
and that's
this
we will.
is the last party. This will be the
Yeah.
last party chair. This is
Yeah.
it. They don't. That's a
Yeah.
good point.
Party. Yep.
Is over. The party's
Yep.
over.
Yep.
Well, and I think so. Okay, you vote.
Your people
Yes.
get that. The party is over as we
Yes.
know it. The
Yep.
lights are out. There's
This is
no
and
more red wave. There's no more turning the state from red, blue to red. No, there'll be no more red. That's the whole point of this. It's the
Yes.
elimination of the parties. I'm
Yeah,
not
I know.
overstating it.
No,
I'm
you're not.
Cassandra telling you,
Yeah,
the doom is here. This is it, you guys.
you're
Wake
right.
up.
You're right.
I need money. I need money. Please send money and help us with this. We have 50 days to make this happen. It's our
All right.
last chance.
All right.
Sorry,
Hey,
I'm
and you know what, Candace, send me that and I'll do a weekend to put that out for you guys too. Okay.
Thank
So,
you.
thank you. All right, Candace, thank you
Candace,
for
thank
joining.
you.
Right.
All right. Thank you,
Marlene
guys.
says she'll
Thank you for
send
having
money.
me.
All right. Thank
All
you so
right.
much.
Thanks.
All
Thanks.
right. That is going to do it for us. She's right. The party is over. Want to let you know, Friday, Kenneth Raposo coming on to talk about the Trump economy and why it works. Robert Spencer on everything going on in Israel. And he's got a new book out as well. Chuck, I'll let you get back to work at the newspaper.
All right.
And we.
Well, but, I mean, I really want to emphasize she's right. This is an existential threat to democracy if you ape the Democrats, but it really is awful. And it's going to succeed unless someone can stop it. And you and I and everyone are the only ones who can do it.
That's right. All of us, we need to vote no. Okay, everybody, thank you for being on the show today. Thanks for all everybody on Zoom. And we will see everybody on Party Friday.
Bye-bye.